God's answering that prayer. Okay? When we gather together at River West Church, when we see what God is doing, we see the people that God has brought, this congregation, this community of faith, I believe it's the answer to that prayer. Lord, please bring to me those that I can partner with in doing ministry for Jesus Christ. There are hundreds of stories of how Christ has led people to River West Church. Every one of them is unique, and I love to hear the stories. Early on in the ministry, there's a guy named Jeff Knopper. Jeff and Susan and their family came to River West Church. And I love Jeff. He's my good friend in the Lord. And just the way that he came was kind of unique because I was actually coaching soccer. My son Trevor was in this little like kick and chase soccer thing, and somehow I got recruited to be the coach. And I was up there, and Jessica Knopper was on the team. And so Jeff heard that there's some crazy pastor who is the coach for this soccer team. And he's thinking, you know, might be a cult leader, might be some crazy guy. So Jeff comes walking up after practice one day, and he says, "Hello, I'm Jeff Knopper, and I understand that you're starting a church here in town." And, you know, kind of looked at me. And I said, "Yes, that's true." And Jeff said, "Well," he said, "I assume, like, you believe in the same gospel that I believe in, don't you?" And I looked at Jeff and I said, "I don't know, because I don't know what gospel you believe in." And that, of course, totally got him flustered. He's like, "Oh, no, it's fine. I'm sure we're all fine here, you know." And so he was checking me out, you know, to see. Well, I don't know if it was next week or soon thereafter, there was a snowstorm and everybody was kind of housebound. And we had started our church at the Garden Home Rec Center. And so Jeff lived close to there and he couldn't go to his regular church. And so he decided to walk to the crazy pastor's church to see what was up. So Jeff comes walking in. It's on a snow day. I mean, we only had like 20 people in the church anyway. So it's probably, you know, 12 people that made it through the snow. And Jeff comes walking in and sat down and listened to the message. And basically, he's been at River West ever since. And Jeff and Susan are dear friends. And you know what? I can say this. This is the absolute truth before the Lord. If it weren't for Jeff and Susan Knopper, River West Church would not have made it. And we wouldn't have made it without them. It was the answer to the prayer. Lord, will you bring me people that I can partner with in ministry? I'm not looking so much for people to minister to as people to minister with. And that's the thing. What I've seen God do in bringing people to River West Church is true also of our staff. I marvel at how the Lord has directed lives and led people to be with us. It's just been such a joy to serve together with those that we have on our staff at River West Church. This morning, I'm going to share with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the body of Christ in just a couple of minutes. But what I want to do first is I'm going to have Christopher Kaufman come up here. He's our new associate pastor. And I want you to hear from Chris a little bit of his story of what Christ has done in his life and how he's been led to this point to be with us at River West. And I really love this guy. When I look for people to serve the Lord with, I look for people that love Jesus, first and foremost, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the Word of God, and that have a heart for the world. And that's who I see in Christopher, which is just an awesome thing. And so I just asked him to come and to share a bit of his story with you so you can get to know him. So,
hello. How are you? It's great to be here. It's great to feel alive. The part the guy is leaving out is that he gave me the bubonic plague. And so it's awesome. Today, I know ahead of time we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians and looking at the body of Christ. And talking about the body of Christ this morning, it's been awesome just because my body has not felt like a body much at all. And so just being able to walk here this morning is just an answer to prayer. Can we pray? Just together before I even share my story this morning. Jesus Christ, thank you that I have air in my lungs right now and I'm not vertical or horizontal on my bed at home. And so we just thank you, Lord, that you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. And that, God, everyone sitting here this morning, you are the one writing our story. And we share that in common. And so we look to you and say thank you this morning, Jesus. Amen. So I've had a lot of time on my hands this week to think about the story that God is authoring. in my life. And a couple weeks ago, you find out when guy gets sick, he turns to Psalm 3. I turn to Hebrews 11 because by the time Christians are getting sawn in half because of their faith, I start feeling better. And I started reading through Hebrews 11 and 12, and it started putting things in perspective. And I began to think about the story that God has written. That in this chapter 11 of Hebrews, you hear the story by faith, all these stories that these people have lived that God wrote because they wouldn't have chosen to get sawn in half for their faith in Jesus. We just trust that God writes the story. And then chapter 12 in Hebrews, it says, now fix your eyes on Jesus, because it wasn't just because these people were heroes. It's like, wow, God authors our story. You see, I came from an atheistic family. How many of you guys just went through the Christopher Dawkins study? That's what I came out of. Some heavy, heavy, heavy stuff. And Christ reached into my story, into my home, and just set a new story in motion. I came to Christ through Young Life. A cute girl invited me over for pizza. This is how 90% of men get saved. A cute girl invited me over to a house for free pizza. And I heard the gospel. And for some reason, my mind, I don't know if you're wired like this, my mind doesn't turn off. And this story that I had believed was basically a fairy tale made sense to me more than any mathematical equation I had ever ran into in my life. And for the first time in my life, I had peace of mind. And I can't even think about this part of my story that much, or I just begin to just weep. Because I had never, ever had peace of mind in my life before. And I slept. I remember when I accepted Jesus Christ, it felt like I slept for the first time in my life with just a heart that was light. And that changed my experience. It continues to change my experience. God's still writing that story with me. I was studying to be a doctor, to actually make some money in life. And God changed that story and said, you're not going to make a dime in life ever. And I was like, fine, I'm just not going to even fight this. And I moved to Oklahoma. You don't write this type of stuff for yourself, folks, especially when you're wired like me. And I moved to Oklahoma and I met my wife, Julie. My wife, Julie's back there. She's actually sitting next to a very, that person just hated her, that everybody just looked. But a very important person that's part of my story too, Danielle. She's one of my closest friends, and she has an awesome story. When I see people, don't be intimidated by this. This isn't weird. I see stories. Every single one of you here this morning, there's a story that God is authoring in your life. And my favorite thing in life is to sit down and find out what that story is. And I love it. And there's actually four funky gray buckets in my office at River West, and I just love collecting stories. It's how I understand God is authoring our lives together. I went to college. I met my wife, Julie, back there, and my story changed again. And I went from this guy that just had so much to prove in life to a guy that was comfortable in his own skin, and God just used that. And I began to study the Bible, and I found out that God has a way with words. And that the story that God has written for us to kind of guide and give shape to our life is the most important story. The story that leads to Jesus Christ is the story that in many ways has just been cauterized on my imagination and set me free. I left Bible college convinced that I was supposed to plant a church in Austin, Texas. And I had this class that I took called church planting. Where they gave us a master planning arrow. And for somebody like me, something like that's useless because I have 1,000 of ideas and it had all these quadrants. And we put this gigantic arrow on our wall of all these things we wanted to do and change the world. And we moved our family down to Austin, Texas, because we believed that God wanted to change the story of Austin, Texas. And we went down there and we never really planted a church. We just planted this gathering of homeless people and it was a story that's just absolutely unbelievable. I can't wait to share with you one day in fullness because I'm not smart enough to write this type of stuff. And I wouldn't have written it this way. If I was writing my own story, I wouldn't have written it this way. And I don't think I'd be here standing before you. In fact, I know it. But I'm convinced that God is the one that's writing this thing. When we were in Austin, Texas, it was one of the darkest chapters, I think, in my life, because we were absolutely abandoned by the church. We were in downtown Austin, and we were reaching out to college students and homeless people, and we were just getting stones thrown at us from the body of Christ. We were next to the largest bar in downtown Austin, and the denomination we were a part of, church we were a part of at the time, had nothing but just nasty things to say about that. And Guy might have told you this. I tried to weasel my way out of ministry. I was like, Lord, I'm done. I'm tired of this story. I really, really love Jesus. I just can't stand some Christians. And I don't want to be a minister anymore. I really don't, because I don't have hair, and I don't have, like, a Texas haircut. I don't fit in this story anyways. And I tried to rewrite my own story, and I tried to own businesses and make money. And God keeps bringing me back to something I'm sure Guy will cast a line on today. The body of Christ is beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful things I know. If you were to ask me what I'm passionate about, there's really two things. One is the fact that I believe that God is authoring our story together, that he's authoring your story, he's authoring my story. I want to hear your story. The second thing is when the body of Christ stops bickering about peripheral little things that don't matter, and they put Jesus at the center, and they believe that the kingdom of heaven is here, and that we're a part of building that. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. It's clean drinking water for folks who don't have it. It's stories like this in my back pocket that I went downtown and picked this up because I went to this hotel ministry that this church does down there. And I just want to read just a little excerpt of this morning. It says this: I want to tell you that your music is so anointed, I cry every time I hear the music from this church. You need to hear this. You're all very talented. I also want you to know what a difference your church makes. Because of your kind people here that have smiles on their faces, and they greet one another, and they're positive in their outlook in life. Here there is depression, oppression, and bondages. Because of you, this entire place is constantly different. Without your caring, these compromised lives have no hope. What a sad, mean, dangerous place this world would be. True, there is alcoholism, theft, and it's more like a really, really fun place for me when you come around. I will never forget sitting down at the table at the holiday dinner and having a normal conversation with another resident and listening to the music. What a normal, dignifying thing a holiday dinner can be. And it goes on. This is why I follow Jesus today. Because when the body of Christ is the body of Christ, and we reach out and we build the kingdom together, something that I hope we can do together as a church, in even a fuller, greater way. And we believe that God rewrites stories. Beautiful things happen. Amen? Amen.
Chris is going to be doing a lot of things around River West Church, and I appreciate your prayers for him as he and his family kind of transition into our community. We want to embrace them and love them and let them feel a part. And one of the things that Chris is going to do is help us with our outreach development, and I hope that you sensed his heart for that. He has a heart for the world. He has a heart for us to become the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, and he's passionate about that. But the thing is that he's looking for partners to do ministry with, right? We didn't hire Chris to go, thank the Lord, Chris is here. Now we can just sit back and watch. Go, Chris. You're amazing. No, it doesn't work like that. That's the way a lot of people feel about, you know, what do we pay these guys for anyway? Well, Chris is looking for people to partner with in ministry, just like I am. Because together we can do amazing things for the Lord. If you'll open in your Bible to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 this morning, I'm going to share with you some things about the body of Christ. When we get to chapter 14, we're going to zero back in on spiritual gifts and that type of thing. So what I believe with all of my heart is that Jesus Christ is building His church for the world, and He's doing it right here at River West Church. He's taking this group of imperfect people and He's building something amazing. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 3? He said, you are God's building. You. You, plural. You all. You are God's building. You are God's field. You are God's temple. Okay, so it's amazing when you think about what God says about us as a group. And there's one other thing that He says that is perhaps the most astounding of all. He says, you are the body of Jesus Christ. You're the body of Jesus Christ. Point number one this morning, I want you to adjust your view of the church. Adjust your view of the church. In order for us to become fully the church that God wants us to be, you need to recognize that Jesus Christ Himself is present to you in the people who are gathered all around you this morning. Jesus Christ Himself is present to you in these people. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 12. It says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So here's this analogy of the body of Christ. But the weird thing about this analogy of the body is that it's not really an analogy at all. It's actually just simply stating a fact. It's not just an analogy. It's not, yeah, it's kind of like a body. No, he says, you are the body of Jesus Christ. Take a look again at verse 12. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but I'm reading the wrong verse. Verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. Listen carefully. So it is with Christ. He doesn't say, and that's kind of like, no, he says, so it is with Jesus Christ. I believe the Apostle Paul had a life-altering experience that left an indelible mark on his heart and his mind, and he could never shake it. Do you remember when Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ? He was on his way to put Christians to death, to arrest Christians in Damascus, and the Lord Jesus appeared to him. You can find it in Acts chapter 9. Let me read to you a few verses. You remember this light appeared and flashed all around him. And it says in Acts 9 and verse 4, he fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He didn't say, will you stop messing with my followers? Will you stop persecuting the Christians? He says, I am Jesus. You are persecuting me. I believe the Apostle Paul, that left an indelible mark on his heart and his mind forever. Jesus lives in these people. That's the body of Christ. And it's amazing. Now in the Bible it says, if you give a cup of cold water to the least of one of these little ones, you'll not lose your reward. So, Dwayne, could you get me a glass of water? Because I'm going to have a coughing fit. Thank you so much. I'm totally serious. Thank you. Okay. Everybody has their role. You know, it's just important. It's an awesome thing. Jesus Christ is present to your life in the lives of the people who are gathered around you this morning. I need you to recognize that. I want you to believe that. Thank you so much. You will not lose your reward. It's awesome. Thank you. Adjust your attitude about the church. This is something that happens not just sort of universally where we say, well, Jesus is in everybody. You know, I mean, the Spirit of Jesus is just floating around out there, and the Spirit of Jesus is everywhere, and there's a little bit of Jesus in everybody. That's not the point at all. This is something that happens by a divine work of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what verse 13 says. Verse 13, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we are all given of the one Spirit to drink. The Holy Spirit comes into the life of an individual when they give their heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's called conversion. It's called conversion. We heard a conversion story this morning. We heard Christopher talk about how he was not a believer in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was not in his heart. But he came to faith in Christ. He heard the gospel. And the Bible tells us through the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit works and opens hearts and minds. And then he believed. And in the moment of belief, a transformation takes place. That person is touched by the Spirit of God, baptized in the Spirit of God. They drink of the Spirit of God. They're sealed by the Spirit of God. It's an amazing thing. And some of us have adult conversions, and some of us came to Jesus at 4 years old. Paul said to Timothy, you've known from a child the Scriptures which are able to bring you the knowledge of salvation, the faith that was first in your grandmother and then your mother and now in you. He was a product of a Christian family, and as a very young person, as a child, he knew the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. It's beautiful. Some of you in this room, you say, well, I don't have an adult conversion story. Doesn't matter. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, God has put the Holy Spirit in you. As many people in this room who have opened their hearts to Jesus Christ and put their faith in him, the Bible says that you have been baptized by the Spirit of Jesus Christ into the body of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? That means that every one of us shares the same spiritual DNA. Isn't that cool? Isn't DNA a weird thing? Do you know that every cell in your body has exactly the same DNA? The full blueprint for you is in every cell. That's just an amazing thing. All right? From your toe, your little toe, to your right ear. Every cell has the DNA, and every one of those cells knows that it's you. It knows it's you. I don't know. Somehow it knows it. All right. Every cell in my body knows that it's me. It knows, hey, I'm Guy. I'm Guy. I'm Guy. Seriously. Every cell. That's why when the foreign entity invades my body, the evil, evil foreign entity that I got from you, it comes into my body, this virus, this thing, this foreign entity. And my body says, no, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. You're not me. And I'm going to expel you. I'm going to expel you. And that's why I'm coughing stuff up. I'm coughing up the remains of the foreign entity. There's something about you that makes you you. And every part of you knows that because it's written in your DNA, even though different parts of you look totally different. You got hair and eye and elbow and foot, and you got internal organs, and they all look totally different, and every single part of every bit of it knows that it's you because of the DNA. And when you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God takes the Holy Spirit and implants the spiritual DNA of Jesus Christ into your soul and into your heart. That's why theme number one for the church is unity. Unity. It has to be. It's unity because we all share the same spiritual DNA by the Holy Spirit. No wonder things are so messed up at Corinth. For these people were fragmenting into factions. And Paul says, man, we need emergency work here. And you know what he does? He takes them back to the DNA stuff of the spiritual life. He takes them to the cross in chapter 1. He takes them to the grace of God, to the gospel of Christ. He takes them to the Spirit of God in chapter 1 and 2 and 3. He takes them right to the root of who they are. And he says, don't you get it? You are the body of Jesus Christ. Now that's important. I need you to recognize very clearly that Jesus Christ himself is present to your life in the people that are gathered together with you this morning. And Jesus Christ is present to the people all around you through your life this morning. And that's a weird thought. See, I mean, if I just keep saying that and you think about it, people, you're going to get weirded out. You're going to say, well, hang on. How can that be possible? How can that be possible? I mean, maybe, you know, you up front and the pastors and the spiritual people, I mean, you guys just go into a cloister all week, don't you? And you just pray and read your Bible and you come out sort of glowing and everything. And so maybe Jesus is, you know, somehow present through your lives. But I'm saying wrong. It's every single life. We need to adjust our view of the church. If we want to become the church that God intends for us to be, that means I start looking for Jesus all over the place. I start expecting to encounter Jesus through all kinds of people, not just pastors. Through all kinds of people, I expect to hear the voice of Jesus, to receive the ministry of Jesus, through all sorts of people. Once we get that attitude, things begin to just come to life all around us. And that's what Paul needed them to know. And you know what? That's exactly what we need to know as well. Second thing goes like this. You need to adjust your view of your own place in the body. I need you to recognize that you are deeply needed in the body of Christ. Deeply needed. Let's read on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. They were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, so when we read this, we're trying to reconstruct. Okay, what was going on at Corinth? What are these people thinking? And it becomes obvious that they've elevated certain positions in the church and certain kinds of spiritual gifts to where they've said, oh, these are the really spiritual people. These are the really gifted people. These are the really important people. And the other people aren't so important. That's obvious what's going on. And Paul is correcting that. He's saying, no, you've got it totally wrong. As usual, Corinthians had it totally wrong. Every member of the body is vitally important so that the body can function and be all that it's called to be. Let's read on a little bit more. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So, which part of your body would you like to get rid of? Which part would you say, I can just get rid of that? How about your arm? In May of 2003, Aaron Ralston was hiking by himself in Colorado when a 1,000-pound boulder fell and pinned him by his arm. For 5 days, he was alone. At the end of 5 days, he took out his pocket knife and cut his own arm off below the elbow so that he could get free. I don't know if you've ever seen the story. It's just an amazing. And then he, tied off his arm and rappelled down the side of a mountain to walk out to get help. All right. So that's a studly guy. I'm just telling you. Sidebar. It's like, whoa. Guy's sitting there with a pocket knife going, for 5 days. He didn't say, 15 minutes later, he's like, stupid arm, darn stupid arm, always getting me in trouble, always getting in the way. I've been waiting for an opportunity to cut you off, and I got a knife, and you're done, man. I'm out of here. Good riddance. 5 days later, he says, I'm cutting this arm off. I really don't want to cut my arm off. It's me. Every cell in it is saying, no, I belong to you. I'm you. Oh, that hurts. So what do you want to get rid of? That's the question. How about your foot? How about your big toe? So about a year ago, maybe a little bit more than a year ago, I had what I fondly call the gout episode. The gout episode. All right. It's horrid. It's disgusting. All right. So, and it was untimely, too. So what happened was on Saturday, I noticed, my foot's kind of hurting a little bit. And I can't associate it with anything that I did. I mean, I didn't tweak it. I didn't drop something on it. Didn't bang it into anything. Oh, well, it'll probably go away. I deny it. Deny it. It's not happening. It doesn't really hurt. I'm a man. I don't acknowledge pain. And so then Saturday night, I prepare for my sermon, and I'm thinking about the sermon. And in the middle of the night, I wake up, and my big toe is seriously in pain, like seriously in serious pain. And I tell my wife, I'm like, Maureen, my big toe is in serious trouble. She's like, I know, dear, I'm sorry. Whatever. You wimp. I'm like, no, this is not good. And so I get up, and it's like someone has taken an ice pick and just rammed it through the ball of my foot. And so I put on my shoe, the biggest shoe I can find, and I have four. That's back when we did four church services. I have four church services to do. So people didn't realize. I came in like this. And I'm, talking. I'm not really walking around much, like Amsterdam, just talking, Then I got to walk out, get in my truck, drive down here from Green Tree, get out, walk in, do the same thing, go back to my truck, drive up there, do the same thing, get back, drive. and then come back at night. All right. This was a living hell. I'm not kidding you. And what's pathetic is I'm like, what is wrong? And I came walking in on Sunday night, and Marty Williams looks at me, and I'm just walking in like this. And she looks at me, she says, you have gout. She says, you have gout. I'm not joking, you have gout. I'm like, gout? Didn't they eradicate that in the 19th century? What is gout? I've never heard of gout. What is gout? Is that like a goiter? What is gout? She says, you have gout. Seriously. How do you know that? She says, I just know. She goes, you're an old guy. She says, it's an old man's disease. I'm like, oh, no, no, no. So I called the doctor on Monday, and I said, I have gout. How do you know? I said, just trust me, I have gout. I'm coming in. I come in. He says, you have gout. He says, gout is really weird. Your body doesn't process this uric acid stuff, and so it turns into what he called shards of glass in your bloodstream, and it all goes directly to your big toe. Your big toe is encased with shards of glass. And I said, thank you, because that makes perfect sense based on what I'm experiencing right now. Then I did some research on gout, because I went to the office and I got teased. I went in, and Jonathan Alexander, he's like, you have gout. Gout's an old man's disease. And I did some research, and the research said gout, common in men, age 40 and above. And I went back and I said, Jonathan, how old are you? 36. I said, Jonathan, you're 4 years from the gout zone. 4 years. So from then on, I always told Jonathan to the day he left, you're 4 years from the gout zone, buddy. All right. Just get ready. Prop it up. Okay. I treated my big toe like royalty. Royalty. Unbelievable. Okay. My entire body focused on that precious toe. And it was elevated on a pillow. And my wife came and you know, was caring for the toe. Everything was about the toe. I'm like, I am absolutely incapacitated because of my toe. I can't do anything. I can't think straight. I can't minister to anybody. I'm good for nothing because of my toe. All right, I've overdone the illustration. I'm here to tell you that every single part of the body is critical. It's critical. And so you need to know this morning, you need to adjust your view of yourself. You need to know that you are vitally important to the body of Christ, to the church of Jesus Christ, to the mission of Jesus Christ, to the community of Jesus Christ. You are vitally important. And you know what's weird? It's the parts of the body that you can't see, that never get any recognition, that are actually the most important of all. You can cut your toe off, you can cut your foot off, you can cut your arm off with a pocket knife if you like, and you can live. Your eyes can be lost and you can live. Your ears can be lost and you can live. But if you lose your liver, you're not going to live. And how often do you sit around thinking about your liver? Never. You don't think about your liver. The only time you think about your liver is if your skin starts turning yellow. You're like, isn't that something with the liver? Right? You don't think about it. And that's the way that it is in the body of Christ. We need all kinds of people in the body of Christ. We need all kinds of gifts in the body of Christ. We need all kinds of passions in the body of Christ. I've been praying, Lord, bring me people to partner with in ministry so that through Jesus Christ, we can reach this world. And the Lord says, I'm going to send you all kinds of people with all kinds of visions and passions and heart. The Lord sends people who are passionate about ministry to children. They just love the kids and they think about the kids. And I say, that's so awesome that the Lord has done this. And now Lindsay, who had little baby Houston, and so because of that she's on maternity leave and everything, and the Lord's brought Ashley to us. And it was just the Lord brought Ashley, and Ashley has this heart for children in helping us in that area of our ministry, and it's an amazing thing. And Debbie Wakeling, who did the hotel ministry, and I've told you how she walked into my office, and she said, you need to care about the elderly poor. And I said, what? What are you talking to me about? You need to care about the elderly poor. And I'm like, I don't get it. Seriously, I'm like, I don't get it. She says, okay, well, I do, and I'm going to go do it. And then she came back later, and she said, you need to care about the elderly poor. I said, okay, all right, I'm getting it. I'm starting to get it, you know. And so the Lord brought somebody who had that heart to engage in a ministry. We need people here who care about theology. They care about the Word of God. They care about doing Bible studies. I love it. We have men and women in our church that do small groups, and they just love to share the Word, to open up the Word with people. We need that in our church life. John Domingo, a young guy in our church, is just so excited about the Lord, and he loves theology, and he writes me these emails, and he's, you know, just writing theology and all these things, and passionately, and I'm going, man, this guy's awesome. This guy's awesome. We need people like that in this church. And the list goes on and on and on. What are you passionate about? Now, you'll find that your gifting lines up with your passions so often. So when I talk to people, I often ask them their story, like, okay, what's your story? How'd you come to River West Church? Because as far as I'm concerned, the Lord just brought me someone to partner with the ministry. And I want to know the story. And then I ask them, too, what are you passionate about? What do you care about? What are you excited about? Because that tells me something about the area of your spiritual gifting as well. You are deeply needed in the body of Christ. So these people around you, they need you. Not just, oh, Pastor, God needs me. They need you. We need you. You say, well, I just have kind of one thing that I do. That's all right. Do that. Do it well. Do it with all your heart. Do it consistently. Do it for Jesus. Do it from the DNA of the Spirit that He put in your heart, and watch what happens. If every single person in this room were to do that, what a living, strong, powerful body of Jesus Christ in this world that we would find. Last thing I want to share with you this morning. I need you to be connected to the body. You got to be connected. So unity is a theme in this chapter. Diversity within unity. So the same DNA, but lots of different parts. Look different. That's great. But there's an interconnectedness too. So that every member of the body, every part might have the same care for one another. That there's this interconnectedness that actually makes the body work. You can't separate from the body. One of the weirdest scenes I've ever seen, and this, it scares me, it frightens me, and I saw Saving Private Ryan, and it trashed my mind so bad when I saw it in the theater that I said, I'll never watch that movie again. It just messed with my mind. And there's a scene in the opening scene where they hit the beach at Normandy, and it's just, they're just getting wiped out by the machine guns. And this guy comes out on the beach, it's a U.S. soldier, and his arm gets blown off. If you remember the scene. But his arm just gets blown off, and he stands up, and his arm is gone, and it's laying on the beach. And he picks up his arm. He picks it up in his other hand, and he's just walking around like this. He's just completely dazed, walking around with his arm in his other hand. That messed with me a lot. Isn't it weird? Think about this. Think about how weird it is to see a part of the human body not attached to a body. Isn't it weird that it's weird? But it is. Like if you saw a hand and it was just severed and it was like 3 feet away from the body, it would totally freak you out. Like everything in us says, that's really, really not right. And I don't like that. Can't stand that. Because everything in us says the parts of the body have to be connected or they don't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't work at any level. There's something repulsive about it. There's too many people these days who are basically free-floating parts of the body. You're a free-floating hand, a free-floating eye in the body of Christ. You walk around and you go, I see things. I'm an eye, man. I see everything. I see what's going on at your church, you know. There's the free-floating mouths of the body of Christ. Those are the worst. You know, they come in and like, Pastor, I know. I see us going to church. And blah, 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 talk, 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 blah, blah. And then they leave and they go somewhere else. And they talk there. You know, just free-floating, okay? But what God wants to do is he wants to take every part of the body and make it interconnected so that it can work together to accomplish something amazing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to get connected in a setting where you can care for others and work with others for Jesus. Get connected. Now listen, when we come together on Sunday, it's not exactly that setting. I mean, it is when we break it down and you say, well, we have people that serve and minister and do things. But our purpose on Sunday morning is to gather together to affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, to worship him as the collected believers in Jesus Christ gathered together, and to hear the teaching of the word so that we can all be on the same page in our knowledge and our love for Jesus. That's when we gather on Sundays, and that's an important function of the church. But the way that you're going to experience what I'm really talking about in the body of Christ is when you put yourself in a context where you can care for others and work with others for Jesus. That's why it's the people who do get involved in the community groups or in some smaller group setting of our church that are the people who often feel connected. Some people say, I just don't feel connected to this church. I go, well, what are you doing? Where have you yourselves, well, people haven't reached out to me. Heck with that. Don't tell me that. Where have you inserted yourself into a setting where you can care for other people and or serve Jesus with them? That's where this happens. You know, I'll tell you what, people who go on these mission trips, and Marie and I are going on the next one to El Salvador, one of the greatest things about it is all of a sudden you're with a group of people who are seeking to do something together for Jesus, and all of a sudden you see gifts. You just see it happen. You just see people go, oh, that guy is good at organizing things, and that person's really insightful, and that person, you know, just cares for people, and that person's great with kids, and boom, it just, all of a sudden, all the gifts, and as people use their gifts to serve Jesus together, this interconnectedness happens, and it's amazing. That's the way it is. You need to put yourself into that setting in the church, all right? It's always a struggle for us. It's always a challenge. We have small group sign-ups. We do all these things. We just got to keep working at it. You can do it in any ministry of the church, getting involved with youth or with children or with outreach or with worship or any of the things that we do, or with a small group. Keep fighting that battle. Don't let it get away. Remember something. Our goal at River West Church is not to meet your needs. Just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Our goal is not to meet your needs. Okay? Our goal is that you might know and love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that we might empower you to meet the needs of others. That's our goal. Now, in the process, your needs may or may not be met. But we all want to get on the same page here, all right? So if people say, well, wait a minute, your goal is to meet my needs. Isn't that what your contract says? Isn't that what you do here? Your goal is to meet my needs. That's why I'm here, is for you to meet my needs. Okay? And then I say, well, wait a minute. No, that's actually not my goal. My goal is I'm looking for partners in ministry. That's what I'm here for. Thank you. I'm so happy that you're here. You're here to partner with me in ministry. It's awesome. Thank you. My goal is to lift up Jesus Christ, to have people know and love and believe in Jesus Christ and experience Christ and be born again of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and then to empower those people to meet the needs of others. And as that happens, the interconnectivity of the body takes place, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So may the Lord help us at River West Church. I'm so excited about what he's doing at our church. You know what? We're at the front end of this thing. You need to know that. Jesus is just getting started at River West. You know, he's just getting started. It's just so exciting to see what he can do. But it's not going to be about who's up front. Oh, I love that guy, Chris Kaufman, and he got up there and he was amazing. It's all about Chris. No. It's about you. It's actually about you and the world out there that Jesus wants us to reach. Let's say a prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful lesson, Lord. And we've learned that it's not just an analogy, but it's a picture of a reality that we are the body of Christ and members in particular, each one. I thank you for this, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we might see the church as you see it. I pray that we might see ourselves as you see us. I pray that we might understand the value of what each of us has to bring to this equation. And I pray that we might also value the ministry of each and every person around us, Lord, not only on Sundays, but throughout the week in every setting. And as we reach out to the world, please empower your people, Lord. Send your spirit. Encode us with that spiritual DNA and then light a spiritual fire beneath us, Lord, of passion for Christ and for the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.